coming to you live from the North Pole, where the pole is always long enough and it is strong enough. It's for Happy Holidays 4. And now, here's the guy who is jingling his bells all year long, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the annual tradition here on Rob Has a Podcast. It is Happy Holidays 4, and I'm very excited to be back, fourth year running. We first started with the first Happy Holidays back in 2012, and it has become a very fun show that I look forward to doing every year. If this is your first Happy Holidays, you could listen to all three of the previous Happy Holidays shows, where we have all sorts of fun surprises along the way and all sorts of fun. And hopefully you have no idea what's in store for you here as we get into the Happy Holidays show. Gave you a little bit of a sneak preview on the Happy Holidays show, because earlier this week, we dropped the brand new single from Bryce Isaiah that he made a brand new song called The Purple Pants Badass. Originally, I was going to have it as part of this show, but Bryce wanted to get his song out at a certain time, so we weren't going to hit the deadline that I had promised to him. So we released that earlier in the week. So consider that as sort of like an early holiday gift as part of this show, but we're going to have a lot of fun here today. I always like to do this show just as a way of saying thanks to all of our listeners who have hung in there with us all season long, from all the people that have been patrons and all the people that have been supporting us with their Amazon shopping this time of year. So try to give a little extra back to you guys with an extra show. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun here today on the Happy Holidays show. It's been such a great year here for the podcast and for me personally, between all of the success that we had with the shows and all sorts of new listeners. We won the podcast award earlier this year, and just personally with the birth of child number two when Anthony came into the world. It's been a great year for me in 2015, and I hope it has been for you as well. And again, I just really appreciate that you guys have been along on this ride here for us in 2015 and hopefully beyond. So before we get into our first guest here on the Happy Holidays show, I just wanted to tell you about something which is kind of frustrating that I've been dealing with here over the last week or so. So you guys know that I had gone to the Survivor finale back last week, last Wednesday night. Had a great time, got to see the show, see the Survivor finale live, and hung out with Josh Wigler, and we did all of our interviews there. And I got to talk to a lot of people, a lot of Survivor producers and everything behind the scenes. And I actually had the chance to talk with Mark Burnett during the Survivor finale, which was a rare treat for me. I really haven't had a good conversation with Mark, and it's been at least 10 years. And we were just talking about some of the different projects that he's working on. And he's basically got a major reality show at every single network at this point. And on top of that, he's working on all of these movies with his production company, and he's doing all sorts of things with like the Bible. So basically he's got like this Rolodex of a who's who of all these different people that he's working with. And he was telling me about one of the projects that he has coming up, which sounded a little far-fetched to me, but he was very convincing in talking about it, that Mark Burnett has a reality series coming up where he's working with the actual Santa Claus. Now, I know some people said to me that, no, Mark Burnett was messing with you, but he seemed super convincing to me in talking about his working relationship with Santa Claus. And to prove it to me, he gave me Santa Claus's address where I could send Santa Claus a personalized letter about all the things that I want. Now, I have been very lucky in life where I have many of the toys that I want, but I feel like that there are all sorts of things where it's like, if Santa Claus is working with Mark Burnett, I feel like Santa Claus would probably have a lot of influence on Mark Burnett. Like, he probably has Mark Burnett's ear much more so than I would potentially have. So I wrote this letter to Santa last week, and I put in it basically all of my ideas for Survivor, all the things that could fix the show, and not giving away anything in the previews. I felt like this was going to be a way that would really be able to improve the show and really make it even better in 2016. So I sent off my letter and I put my tracking on it so I could be able to see when it gets there, when it gets to the actual Santa, and to prove that it actually got there. And the annoying part about this is that it's like gotten held up, and I'm following the tracking, and it's like stuck in the 04038 zip code for some reason. And I'm hoping to get to the bottom of this because it's getting very close to Christmas, and I'm worried that my letter is not going to get there. I don't even know if Santa opens mail after the 25th, so I'm really sort of antsy as to whether or not it's going to get there in time. So I'm hoping to get some resolution on that as we go along here today in the final hours before we release this podcast. So hopefully we'll have some updates on that as we go along. But enough about my problems. Let's get into this. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our first guest here on the Happy Holidays special. That he has joined us many times before, but here he is in somewhat of a different vein. Of course, we're trying to get a hold of the real Santa Claus. So Santa Billy slash Billy Claus is not available. But with all the hype around Star Wars, The Force Awakens, we are bringing in a very special guest here for the first time. Darth Bilious. Darth Bilious, are you there?
I'm here. I love the Metal Imperial March, but I think instead of Darth Bilious, I should be Billy Fett.
Billy Fett.
Yeah, because Boba Fett was like in Empire Strikes Back for all like 5 minutes, and he's like this hugely popular character. I think I fit that mold.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. And then when you said I love you to Candace, that was kind of like in The Empire Strikes Back when Han Solo was about to be frozen in carbonite.
Yeah, or Boba Fett said, he's worth a lot to me. That was his my prize is more than $1 million or whatever it was.
All right, so just to be upfront, just to be clear, we're not going to talk about any spoilers about Star Wars The Force Awakens. So if anybody is upset or worried about that, right, Billy Fett, you are not going to give away any spoilers?
No spoilers. This is a spoiler-free podcast.
But you did see it, right?
Oh, did I ever.
Yes. And what do you say? Is your lightsaber pointing up or pointing down?
I would say it's pointing up. Like we said, spoiler free, but I'll just say I like the direction they're going. There's of course we're all the hardcore fans are going to have their things they're going to nitpick.
Yeah, but you liked it.
Yeah, I think casual fans will be able to become hardcore fans watching this movie,
and better than the prequels.
Yeah, I would say yes, but I'm not somebody that insults the prequels.
Oh, you like the prequels.
Because to me, any Star Wars is good Star Wars.
Okay, well, good to hear. So, Darth Bilious, Billy Fett, I thought that what might be fun this year, instead of talking about who has been naughty and who has been nice, I thought maybe we could talk to you about who is on the good side of the Force and who has been on the dark side of the Force.
Ooh, yes, the dark side. Strong am I with the dark side of the Force.
Yeah, but before we get into that, how have you been, Billy? Billy Claus slash Billy Fett.
We'll just throw all Napoleon Billy part while we're at it. Sacre bleu, you have been defeated. I've been good. Good in a naughty sense, but yeah.
Whoa.
Good. My band is in the studio. We're working on new material for our second album.
Jacking it with the band.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, every guitar solo is pretty much that, don't you think?
Yeah. All right. So, Billy, did you enjoy Survivor Second Chance?
I did. I hope they do more of these. I think this is a great format for bringing players back.
Now, were you approached at all to be in the Second Chance balloting?
Without giving away anything that might hurt me in the future, I'll just say I came off the board pretty early. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, fell off the board early.
Yeah.
we'll let that, people can leave that open to interpretation.
All right. Yeah.
So, All right. So, but overall, you thought this was a good season. You were happy with the outcome?
Yeah, it was a fun season. There's a few things I would have done different. But like the barrel of water with the idol in it, I'd have made the barrel of water like tinted with some sort of color so that Jeremy would have to explain why he's like yellow when he comes back to the camp. That'd make things interesting.
So would want to have like one of those things like where like they have like a bank robbery and they have like when you open the bag of money, like the paint explodes everywhere. You want yeah. that like the immunity idol to be in there, and then Jeremy has to explain why he's covered in yellow paint to the rest of the tribe.
Yeah, exactly. That would make things interesting. It would force him to have to come up with a believable lie on an instant.
Yeah. Well, that would be pretty impressive. That'd be very fun.
Yeah, and I don't know how you felt about the stealing of the vote, or you know, I'm actually setting you up to go ahead and say your end of this. But I would have rather have it been a stealing of an idol, like get a clue that says the idol has been found, and if you can find it, find out where it is, you're allowed to steal it. You're the one player allowed to steal it.
Wow,
so that would have been better to me.
So what do you have to do? You have to find the person that has it, or you just say at tribal council, whoever has the idol has to give it to me.
No, you have to, like, you know how players like to hide the idol under a rock or in their bag or wherever? If you can find out where that is, you can now take it.
Wow. All right. So that's a very Darth Billyus, Billy Fett move to just steal the idol from somebody.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather that than the vote because, then I'm buddies with Fishback and that totally blew up in his face. So maybe I'm a little bitter about that.
Yeah. Like, like that Jeremy bag of money. I hope that's not how they give him the bag of money that he won for with the paint inside of it. That would be a mean prank that they would play on him.
That would be, but so long as the cameras are rolling, right?
I guess so. All right, so let's talk about who has been on the good side of the Force. Who is the Force strong with from a good sense?
From a good sense, you know, I would definitely say Wentworth. She went from being an early boot to being one of the best players of all time, in my opinion.
Best players of all time. Wow.
One of them. Yeah, one of them.
Wow. How about that?
So she's strong with the Force. I don't know if you want to get to the part to maybe like who would I compare her to in a Star Wars universe or any of that, but
we'll wait for that. Okay. But wow. So Kelly Wentworth on the good side of the Force. Well, you were very impressed with Kelly Wentworth, one of the best players of all time. Now,
yeah, she was good at thinking on her feet. She was always behind the eight ball, and yet she would, with the exception of that, at the very end, she would always find a way out of that tight situation.
Okay, so well done with Kelly Wentworth on the good side of the Force. Who else? Anybody else on the good side of the Force for you, Billy Fett?
Naturally, Jeremy. I mean, it's hard to knock a guy that he knew that he had a target on his back, and yet people liked him so much, they kept him around anyways.
Definitely seems like he's on the good side of the Force, that he has now has a little baby. Hopefully he won't send the baby to go live on Tatooine.
Or Jakku, for that matter.
Yes, yes.
So I think Jakku is worse than Tatooine, actually.
Probably. All right, let's talk about then more fun. Who's on the dark side, Billy? Who has gone to the dark side?
My boy Fishback.
Fishback went to the dark side.
Yes. Well, you know, though, I think he was a Sith Lord anyways. So he was always more of a strategic player than a feel-his-way-through-the-game kind of player.
So you think Steven has gone to the dark side? How, was he on the dark side to begin with?
I think he was. I think he that emotional roller coaster he went through pretty much cemented him on the dark side, though.
Now, he got very sick on Survivor, Billy. Did you have any sort of severe gastrointestinal distress when you were on Survivor?
No, I had an external flaming flesh problem. That
What is that, sunburn?
No, that's a torch to my back, courtesy of one Christina Coria.
Oh.
at the very first challenge. So, yeah,
that's like what happened to Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, you can look at it that way. Yeah, I didn't get my limbs chopped off, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So Steven is giving out the Sithy now.
Yes, yes. Or, you know, with this whole new movie, he could be in Knights of Ren. I guess that's the alternative to being a Sith.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
So who else is now on the dark side of the Force?
Ooh, who is on the dark side as well? You know, I guess this is kind of like pointing out the obvious here, but we got to go with Abby.
Abby Maria.
Yeah, you know, he's pretty much saying that a leopard has spots, so it's not really news to anybody. But she personifies the dark side of the Force.
She's gone to the dark side. Yeah, she's one of the top people on the dark side, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
Yes. So always two there are, a master and an apprentice. She's the master.
Yeah. I like that. That was good. Yeah. That was good.
Who's your master, Darth Billy's, or are you the master and you have an apprentice?
My master, I'm going to keep a secret just because if I ever get back on, I'm not going to pull a specialist and tell everybody which strategy I'm using. Whose strategy book am I reading from here?
Okay, so you're saying like that Philip was like the apprentice to Boston Rob. You think you talk too much about him. So
yes, and he gave it away.
And you have somebody that you've been studying their game that you're the apprentice.
I'm the apprentice. Okay. I'm the apprentice. Even though I think fans would probably figure it out.
And it's not Ozzy?
No, definitely not Ozzy. It's definitely not Ozzy, but you got the right season.
But which one? Which one?
All right, since you're putting me on the spot and we're having some fun, I'll just say his initials are JP and he's from Cook Island. I should narrow it down.
Yes, Billy. Come, learn at my knee. I will teach you everything I know.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. So wait, is Penner like your Yoda?
Yeah, or he could be my Darth Sidious. I think he wants it for himself. But
Well, is Penner a good Jedi or is he a Sith?
Oh, he's definitely a Sith Lord. Okay. he's definitely Darth Sidious all the way. Yeah.
Billy, you underestimate the power of the dark side. Come with me. We'll rule the galaxy as master and apprentice.
He would probably send me to execute Order 66.
All right. Well, everybody's so excited about the return of Star Wars these days. And I had been thinking for a couple of weeks, if you were going to cast a new Star Wars movie, but only use the people from Survivor, I think that this would be a very fun experiment to do. Have you given this a lot of thought, Billy Fett?
I have indeed. And I think I have an excellent cast here already worked out.
All right. This is the cast of the... Do you have the whole movie cast?
I have all of my favorite characters cast.
Okay. All right. So this is very exciting. We're going to hear for the very first time the cast of the Survivor Wars... put together by Darth Bilius. Okay, very exciting. All right, Darth Bilius, where are we going to start?
We're going to start with one of the most beloved characters in the Star Wars universe, Chewbacca.
Chewbacca, okay.
Yes, and we got to go with Cass for Chewbacca.
Cass?
Yeah.
Now, why is Cass playing the role of Chewbacca?
Because according to Tony, who's like the Wookiee whisperer of the Star Wars of the Survivor universe, only Han Solo could understand Chewbacca. Only Tony seems to be able to understand Cass. So that makes him the Chewbacca of Star Wars of Survivor.
Yeah. Okay, I can see it. There's some similarity there. Now, I think that, Cass could potentially... I mean, she doesn't have, like, a superhuman strength like Chewbacca, but I think there is some degree of, like, let the Wookiee win when you're sort of arguing with Cass.
Oh, absolutely. And if you see the attitude, Cass definitely displays, like, the whole I can kick your butt at any moment type attitude or you better not mess with me or I'll flip you off, you know, that kind of. So, Yeah, so maybe we should hashtag Wookie Cast instead of Chaos Cast.
Or Cast Baca? What are we going to go with?
Cast Baca? I like this.
Now, is it Cast wearing the Chewbacca suit? How does this work?
She wears the, you know how all every survivor gets that little purse that we have to put our stuff in? Yeah, she'll wear it. She'll sport it like Chewbacca.
Okay.
And then her hair just naturally comes off like Wookiee hair once she's been out there for a while. So she doesn't have to do anything with her hair.
Okay, so you're going to cast Cass as Chewbacca. Okay, so far so good. Who else is going to be in the Star Wars Survivor movie?
Well, I think there was this character that everybody was so excited about in the new movie, played by the Game of Thrones actress, Gwendolyn, I forget her last name.
Yes.
And the character's name is Captain Phasma, and then she was much like Boba Fett, just there for like, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, and then that's it. We were like, oh, but she was such a cool character, there needed to be more of her. And I think Jeff Varner fits that role perfectly.
I haven't seen the new movie yet, so I don't know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about on Game of Thrones, Brienne of Tarth, right?
Yeah,
on Game of Thrones.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so yes, this is disappointing. Wasn't there for that long.
What just bit my ass?
Okay. All right. What about some of the more notable characters in the Star Wars universe?
Okay. Well, since we're going to go back to classic characters, I think when we first met Luke Skywalker in the original Star Wars, The New Hope. So this is going way back to the beginning. Luke Skywalker was this kid who looked away and wanted to be part of something bigger than him. And along the way, he had to learn to get in touch with his feelings mm-hmm. in order to learn the Force.
Yeah.
And I think Spencer fits that role perfectly.
Yeah.
It just isn't fair.
That was great.
Yeah.
I am a Jedi.
Yeah.
Wow. Before me.
Yes, I could see that. So Spencer is sort of like, you know, he's the young lad in the first movie, and then he sort of became a grown up. And so there, I feel I like that. I think that Spencer would be very good. They both have sort of like the blonde hair.
Yes, yes, they have that look. They have that boyishly handsome good looks.
All right, so I'm all in. I think that's a good casting choice of the young lad. And now is Luke Skywalker going to get along with Chewbacca in this movie?
Well, if you remember A New Hope, Luke Skywalker and Chewbacca did not get along. Luke Skywalker went to try his idea of putting handcuffs on Chewbacca, and Chewbacca had a very negative reaction.
Yeah, not like that.
No, the two did not get along until much later.
Yeah, good. I like that. I can see Spencer on the cover of the poster of this Star Wars Survivor.
Yes, yes, and he has that perfect look.
Maybe even one day somebody will put together the concept art of the Billy Fett Star Wars Survivor poster.
Okay, yeah, you fans got to make that happen. Come on, fans.
All right, what else is who else is in this movie?
Well,
All-star cast,
and we're going to go to the first boot of this past season, Vidus.
Oh, Vidus.
Yes, Vidus is in my Star Wars cast.
And, he got invited to come to the set?
He got invited to come to the set, but because of his goof of this past season, he's playing Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, no. Yeah.
You said people gonna die?
Oh, no.
It's an Ohio Boomba.
Excuse me.
There we go. Wow. Vidus is Jar Jar Binks. Why is Vidus Jar Jar Binks?
Well, Mr. Clumsy went on Instagram and basically got himself into some hot water with the Survivor Brass. And, well, you know, the clumsiest character in the Star Wars universe is Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, okay. So you're saying that the reason why Vidus wasn't at the reunion wasn't like where Jar Jar Binks, they didn't like him and he was annoying. So that's not the similarity there, right?
No, no. It's not that he didn't like him, he was annoying. It's that he was clumsy and got himself into some hot water. And our next character, Boss Nass, who is the boss of the Gungans.
Boss Nass is in this movie.
Yes, yes, he was the boss of the Gungans. That's our Mark Burnett. He was like, no, Jar Jar, you went deep poo-doo this time.
My lord.
Wow. Well, I hope we don't spend too much time on the Jar Jar Binks played by Vetus in this movie.
Yes, it'll just be a cameo. Much like his time on Survivor.
Yes, yes. All right, who else is in this movie, Billy Fett?
Well, we're going to get to an inanimate object because it's an important part of Survivor, and that's the hidden immunity idol.
Okay.
And just like in Star Wars, we seem to have this one item that seems to get blown up over and over again and still gets reused. Just like the hidden immunity idol, and that's the Death Star. So
the Death Star is going to be shaped like a hidden immunity idol in this season?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And does it come in all different shapes in this movie, like in Survivor 31?
It's going to have, the hidden immunity idol is going to have an exhaust port that is very easily hit and blows up.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to have an exploding hidden immunity idol this next Survivor season.
Well, that'll be very exciting.
Movie. Yes, yes.
All right, who else is going to be in this Star Wars Survivor?
All right. So you know what? I figure I'll let my last character be a positive one because I've basically been ripping a lot of people. And Finn is this character in the new movie who's a stormtrooper who decides he doesn't want to do the wrong thing. He wants to do the right thing.
Yes.
And he goes on the adventure that becomes the movie. And I feel the guy who's displayed that attribute the most is Wu. He's Mr. I want to do the right thing to the point that he basically gets beaten in the end by Tony and gets himself eliminated again. So he's Mr. Do-Right. So Mr. Do-Right is Finn, the character.
Okay, well, that's good to get Wu in here. What about some of the really iconic characters, though? What about Darth Vader? Is Darth Vader going to be in your movie?
Darth Vader. You know, I had a hard time finding the perfect Darth Vader until I came across Boston Rob. Boston Rob reminds me of Darth Vader in that he has these ridiculous high expectations for himself. He got to the point that he finally reached those expectations and people were following him like stormtroopers going to their death.
Yes.
You know, so he kind of fits in that mold. He's my Darth Vader.
So you feel like the young Marquesas Boston Rob was like Anakin Skywalker. So Amber is Padme and
yes,
then
yes.
And he comes back. Hey, Billy, I find your lack of faith disturbing. Don't underestimate the power of the dark side, Billy.
That's a better one than I did.
Yeah. Spencer, I am your father. You better listen to me.
That would be the best moment of the season.
No!
It can't be! That's impossible! Hey,
search your feelings, Spencer. You know it's true. All right, and then what about R2-D2 and C-3PO? Are they going to be in your movie?
R2-D2 is kind of sassy, who always seems to be the smart-alecky droid, but damn, no matter what happens to him, he survives. It doesn't matter what you put R2-D2 through. He survives. So I think that's Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Okay.
She's got the right height for the role, yeah. Too.
So. R2-D2 time winner, is that her name?
Oh, high five on that one.
And what about C-3PO?
C-3PO.
I was thinking about calling you for this segment Billy Gar C-3PO.
Oh, that was slick. That was slick. The person who argued with Sandra the most in Heroes versus Villain was Russell Hand.
Russell Hand?
I guess that makes him R3PO.
I don't like you either.
There you go.
I believe the game is flawed. Wow, so C-3PO.
This time you have gone too far.
So, yeah, I don't know if I see that one, Billy.
You got to put the fedora on C-3PO and then he looks the part.
Goodness gracious me.
Yeah, I don't know. We might
remember C-3PO is always getting into all kinds of troubles, and so is Russell Hans.
Yeah. I don't even like that little droid. Yes, C-3PO is Russell Hans. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's a stretch, but
that one might be a stretch because I feel like I could see Russell Hans more in the R2-D2.
Really? R2-D2? I don't know.
I feel like they have more in common than Russell Hans and C-3PO.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Russell Hans, maybe he wants to be a Count Dooku. He was this elegant Sith Lord who, you know, is destined to get killed. There's no chance in hell that, you know, watching the two prequel movies or that you at any point think that he's going to make it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more of a role for him.
And are Leia and Han Solo in your movie?
Yeah, well, Princess Leia, she's a hard one to nail down. I think as a bit of a stretch, just because the look is right and just because the attitude is right, I would have to go with Parvati Shallow.
Okay, Parvati is going to be Princess Leia.
But I don't think she's going to like who I have for Han Solo.
Okay.
Which brings this whole conversation full circle, actually. Our Wookiee Whisperer.
Half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? That I think the guy who I have in mind fits that description, though.
Why? Who is going to be your Han Solo in the Survivor Star Wars movie?
That would be Tony. Tony, our Wookiee Whisperer, our Llama Whisperer. He's a swindler, just like Han Solo. Han Solo is a swindler.
Look, never tell me the odds, okay? Yeah. Wow.
And the way he acts towards Luke. Who's going to fly, kid? You? That's the way he is towards Spencer.
Yeah. I wonder maybe if this was a mistake not to just cast this with all Survivor Kagi on.
You know, you might have a point there. You might have a point.
So this is pretty good now. I know. Tony doesn't really have the hair to pull off Han Solo.
No. But I definitely agree with you that. Doesn't have the hair. He would be a Mace Windu looking Han Solo, but
a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, and you still like Penner as your Yoda in this movie?
Yes. He, his backward speak would be dead on.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah, do or do not. There is no try.
Trying is bollocks.
Yeah.
Use the bollocks, Billy.
Yeah. Help you I can, Billy Fett. All right. Well, the Star Wars Survivor movie will be the most highly anticipated movie of all time. And very, very exciting. Billy, is there anything else from Star Wars that you want to leave us with today?
Just one, my final casting as every stormtrooper, because you know, or your clone trooper, because you know they're clones, will be Francesca.
Why Francesca?
Because the stormtroopers can't shoot straight and they all get killed.
Wow, so Francesca is a stormtrooper.
Yes.
Who knew? And she plays all of them?
All of them, just like in the Star Wars prequels. They're all played by the one clone that became all the troopers.
Yes, and you will be playing the role of Billy Fett?
Billy Fett, that's correct.
You know, Billy Fett, I believe, is going to get his own movie eventually.
That would be awesome. I would hope I'd get my own Survivor eventually. I can't lose if it's just me.
All right. Well, Billy Fett, let me give out a hashtag for this. What do you want to call this? Star Wars Survivor?
Didn't you call it Survivor Wars?
Survivor Wars.
Yeah.
You could follow Billy Fett on Twitter. He is at Real Billy Garcia. There he is. Tweeting away, live tweeting. We'd love to follow your live tweets, Billy Fett.
Thank you. I love when fans interact, and this season was a great, great season for that, for interaction with the fans.
Anything else coming up with your band?
Just our
right,
first
isn't that,
album.
Isn't that the name of your band is the name of this new Star Wars movie of Star Wars The Force Forsaken?
Now, you know, if I'd have said that, I'd have think I'd have made all your fans groan. Because you said it, they'll all laugh.
We can get away with a lot more here on the holiday show. The only people listening to this are the people that want to hear this stuff. The people that are here just for The Survivor, they're not even listening to this.
Oh my gosh. But for all you fans out there, you can check out my band on Twitter as well at Forsaken, was spelled with two K's, _metal.
And you can catch Billy Fett jacking it with the band all the time.
All the time. Every guitar solo. Yeah.
All right, well, Billy Fett, great job. The countdown is on. People are already sleeping outside for the Star Wars Survivor movie. Very, very, very exciting.
Can't wait for the merchandise.
Yeah, the merchandise will be huge. All right, thank you so much, Billy Fett.
All right, thank you, Rob. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. All right, everybody, there you have it. Billy Fett making his first appearance. No Santa Billy, no Billy Claus this year. Talking to the great Billy Fett, the person with the big cult following who everybody wants to see show up in more and more things. Billy Fett back here on the Happy Holiday Special. Now, I hate to do this. You know, this is a special that is really just for you guys as a way of saying thanks, but I do have to take a moment and thank a sponsor, and then we'll come back and go ahead and bring you more of the Happy Holidays for Christmas Spectacular.
Are you tired of the same old holiday songs year after year? Well, this year, you're in luck. Rehapital Records is proud to present A Very Shut Up Tim Xmas.
You know Sugar and Ace and Bob and Corinne, Susie, Maddie, and Crystal and Jillian. But do you recall the most cranky gaboner of all?
All of the new modern classics sung by the definitive voice of this generation.
I'm dreaming of a Natalie White finish,
including such hits as Little Just Jeremy like Boy.
These guys were so dumb, 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 dumb.
Frosty and Yao Man.
Frosty and Yao Man were contestants on Survivor. One gave away a car, the other didn't go far, but they both played on Seasons with James.
And everyone's favorite.
Oh, the weather in this monsoon is rotten, and my severe gastrointestinal distress can't be forgotten. And I really have no place to go. Bro Chacho, Bro Chacho, Bro Chacho.
For only $29.99, you and your family will be singing along.
You better watch out. You better run in fear. Especially if your name's Amber. B-Smoke Cowboy's coming to town. B-Smoke Cowboy's coming to town. At the end of the day, B-Smoke Cowboy's coming to town.
Just visit www.robhasawebsite.com/SUTXMAS. Act now because supplies are limited.
Rob has a pod, Rob has a pod, Rob has a pod, Rob has a pod.
We hope you all have a happy new year.
All right, everybody, we have a very special treat here for you on the Happy Holidays special, because we have been teasing this for quite some time that this was going to be a possibility, and all year long I've been waiting for this. I know we missed Hanukkah, but we're going to try to make up for it with my co-host from the Seinfeld podcast. I guess this is also counts as a Festivus tradition. Here is my good buddy, Akiva Winokur. Akiva.
Oh, yeah, it's Festivus in a few hours.
Yes. A Festivus for the rest of us. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays to you.
No Merry Christmas? Is this, are you a War on Christmas soldier?
I'm not a War on Christmas soldier, but I don't know if it's offensive for me to say Merry Christmas to you.
I guess that's true, but aren't you like speaking to the audience?
I was speaking to you personally.
Oh, that's so kind of you.
Yes, if there was nobody on the line, that's what I'm talking to the audience, but I'm welcoming you.
I will speak to you. I won't say Merry Christmas. I'm just kidding. No, But am I speaking to you or the audience?
Yeah, that's up to you.
I don't know.
I think you're speaking to both.
The point is, I'm excited for my second and final appearance on this podcast.
On Happy Holidays or Rob's podcast?
The whole network.
No, stop it. So here we are. Akiva and I, every week, we go through a Seinfeld episode. We are currently at the end of season 5 of Seinfeld, so plenty more to do on the Seinfeld recap podcast. But we have been talking all year long about how Akiva does a lot of countdowns. He famously counted down his favorite 31 serials early this year, in between, I think, season 3 and season 4 of our Seinfeld recap. And now today he has a new countdown for us. Akiva, what are you going to be counting down?
Yeah, I like lists and listicles. I don't want to read books and stuff like that. That's 20th century stuff.
Yeah.
So we love on the Seinfeld podcast to do top 10 lists and nonsense things like our favorite soups and 100 favorite movies. Anyway, so today I have my 8 all-time, one for each day of the holiday that just passed, Hanukkah. Or is today Kwanzaa maybe?
I think that's actually, I thought I saw a calendar where it starts after Christmas.
So we'll say it's in honor. Are there 8 days of Kwanzaa or one?
That's another segment, Akiva.
Oh, you have that's a Kwanzaa correspondent segment coming on?
Not yet. Okay. Next year. Happy Holidays 5.
So yeah, I have my 8 favorite Survivor players, or I guess the 8 best Survivor players in my opinion of all time.
Okay. All right.
But that's Jewish. 8 best Jewish Survivor players of all time.
Okay. So you're going to give us the 8 favorite or best?
Let's say best.
Okay. Wow. Strong take. Akiva's.
Well, I'm a game bot. So favorite is best.
Okay. Akiva's 8 favorite best Jewish Survivor players.
Yes. It's very specific.
Okay. And so we'll be lighting one candle on the menorah for each of them?
Yeah, but I don't have a shamash. I don't have like a knife.
All right. So now, is it like Hanukkah? I always wondered this about Hanukkah. Do you give the best present first or do you give the worst present first?
Yeah, I have a lot of like issues with Hanukkah. So here's the thing. When you have kids, you don't want to like shoot your present load early.
Right.
And you don't want to give them like, because let's say you were on the road, we're at like a hotel or something in the middle of Hanukkah. So we don't want to like bring heavy presents and schlep them around, so to speak. So, you know, you give like the big ones early and then you're at grandma's house or something and you give them like the junky like stickers or something.
Mm-hmm.
But kids these days are really spoiled. So they're just like, that's it? Like literally my kid said, I think 2 straight nights, like really? Where's our real present?
Yeah, so they're just
waiting.
Then
you save a good one for the 7th or 8th night also.
All right. Because I feel like I've seen it both ways. I feel like I've seen like people like, first night of Hanukkah, boom, it's the big one. And then sort of like, it's like petering out by the end.
Totally. And I'm at the point in my life, I'm 32, where I don't get presents anymore. It's not like Christmas. Christmas, grown-ups give other grown-ups presents.
Yeah.
But like if my parents get 10 presents, all 10 of them will be for my kids.
Wow. So you don't get anything for Hanukkah.
I literally haven't gotten a Hanukkah present in many years.
So is your birthday bigger? Do you get more for your birthday?
No, it's the same. It's the same as anybody else's birthday.
Feel like that there should be like offset somewhere.
No, there's just no presents. That's why, I mean, I got a lot of problems with Hanukkah, honestly. I'm not sure if this is really the place for them, but you know, it's not, you know, I don't know. It's not even canonical in the Bible. What are we talking about here?
Okay, so are you going to be starting with number 8 for the 8th day, or is it like your first day, but this is actually 8th on your list? How are you planning on doing this?
Oh, so, well, I'll start with 8. Well, it's not fun to like start with, I hate when lists start with the best one.
Right.
Because there's no impetus to read like, ooh, I wonder who the 7th best player is of all time.
Right.
You know, or I wonder what like the 7th best brand of ketchup is.
And we know that it's not Hunt.
It's not Hunt. Hunt isn't even top 10. We've discussed this. Yeah.
So then, Akiva, how many Jewish Survivor players are there?
All right. So this is not really a black and white answer. Basically, I was thinking like, so I made a list about a year ago of all the Jewish Survivor players.
Okay.
And then, you know, there was a thread on Survivor Sucks, which really matched my own list. But I was thinking, like, I can't just, like, you know, tweet at some random, you know, I can't, let's say, like, who am I, you know, who am I asking? I can't, like, tweet, like, hey, Spencer, are you Jewish? Right? He's not going to respond to me.
Might.
You know? And if I'm like, hey, don't worry, it's for Rob Cesternino, he's making a list. Like, that wouldn't make,
yeah.
It probably wouldn't, you know, that's like, this is not going to go over well. So I had to do the research myself.
Okay.
So, probably not the high point of my life, like late last night at like 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
where I was Googling like Charlie Herschel's great-great-grandparents.
Wow. So this is really, you went to the source.
I did. By the way, his great-great-grandfather, CEO of Sears, when that was like the biggest company in the world.
Wow. Okay, so...
Yeah, he should be giving out good Hanukkah presents.
Akiva, now, are you doing, if somebody is half Jewish, half something else, does that count?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're not gonna go with matrilineal descent here. This is, I'm not a rabbi. I'm just, talking about reality show people on a podcast. I don't know what we're doing here.
Okay, so by your count then, how many Jewish Survivor players have there been?
There's about 12.
12? Okay. I would have thought there would be more.
Yeah, there's, if you include some maybes. If I wasn't sure, I left them off the list.
Okay, probably safe to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leave them off the list if you're not sure.
Leave them off the list. All right.
There's so much more we could have done, Rob, but this is all.
Now, are you finding that there are more Jewish players as we move along, or has it been sort of steady throughout?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty even. You know, we started with Ethan. A few seasons later, we had Sean Cohn. I don't want to spoil the whole list now, but I don't know if there's been more or less. The show, I mean, we have our first African-American winner, spoiler, I guess if anybody hasn't watched the finale yet. Mm-hmm. In 17 seasons. So maybe that'll do something for diversity of the show.
Okay.
But I don't know. You think they could ever do like they did with Cook Islands, a all religion season?
Akiva, I kind of feel like this would not be the time or the place to really start to break things down by religious differences. I feel that is a firestorm waiting to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, we'll save that for another time.
I say no dice on that version of, okay, Christians over here, Jews over here, Muslims over here. I say thanks, but no thanks.
Can you imagine the comment section on your website that season?
Not on my watch. I will retire if that season comes up. Yes. Yes.
Well, didn't Jeff Probst almost quit with Cook Islands? He was so mad at it.
Allegedly. Who knows? Who knows? All right. So Akiva, how do you want to take us through your list?
Well, I'll give you my honorable mentions.
Well, hold on. Process of elimination, though, will we be able to deduce who is who on your list based on the honorable mentions? Or you?
Well, I haven't said, other than naming a couple of people, I haven't really, you don't know, unless you have your own list at home,
no.
You don't know.
All right, give us the honorable mention. I just want to make sure that we're not spoiled.
No, we're not going to be spoiled here.
All right, who you got? In no particular order?
No particular order. These are the people who missed the top eight.
Got it.
I didn't include Charlie because I wasn't sure. I wasn't going to tweet at him. It was already getting late.
Okay.
But I apologize, Charlie, either way.
Either way.
I apologize for mentioning your name in this whole thing.
For bringing you into this.
The thing is, people probably don't want to be included.
Why? You don't think that there would be bragging rights?
I think some people will like it. When someone we mentioned on a Seinfeld podcast, and there were definitely people who were like, oh, do not do that podcast, guys. Never do it.
Why not?
Like people, Facebook group.
Why not?
I mean, people don't like separating things by religion. I feel like, I don't know. This is going to be, I'd say hit or miss. This is probably going to be miss or miss.
It could be hit or miss, but I feel like, if somebody was going to make a list of, okay, here are the, the greatest nine Italian survivors or something like that, I feel like I would not have an issue. I'd be annoyed if I wasn't on the list.
Right. You'd be annoyed if you didn't make it. That's true.
Yeah. So I don't think that this is a problem.
All right, fine. So let's just keep going. We're already here.
I think that the Jewish people are a proud people, and they would be honored to be on this list.
Unless they miss it.
Unless they miss it, yes. Then they could make a big fuss.
Okay, so the honorable mentions, or dishonorable, because they're not making a top eight out of 12 here, the people who missed the merge are...
undateable.
You can't bring them to your Hanukkah party. with the aforementioned Sean Cohn, came in 12th place at 16 on Pearl Islands.
Wow. An unhappy Hanukkah this year for Sean Cohen, a.k.a. Jebediah Kovad.
Yeah, what's he up to nowadays?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? He did not show up.
I thought you were in touch with him.
No, and some of the Pearl Islands people showed up for Savage's return. They came out of the woodwork, but he was not somebody that showed his face around because Savage was back.
Yeah, now forget it. Now, good luck getting this guy on the podcast now.
Yeah, good luck.
I know you're getting requests left and right for it.
Yeah.
Now, probably the most popular survivor of all time is going to miss the list here. From Survivor Palau,
ooh,
the great Karen Grodel.
Oh. I can't believe Karen missed the cut.
So she finished better than a lot of the people who we're going to talk about. But,
yeah,
you know, is there ever a scenario where Karen's going to win a season?
Well, according to Katie Gallagher, she sucked.
Yeah, she did suck. I was watching some old scenes just to, you know, because I don't just come into this blind. I do my research.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she really was such a downer. You know, because she could have flipped the whole season. And it probably would have made for a worse season because he got out all that good stuff at the end. But
she was very loyal to Tom.
Very loyal to Tom. But, I mean, with a scene where Tom, you know, she goes and runs and tells Tom information. He, like, basically walks the camera and says, like, why did she tell that to me? That's really dumb. It's like really an unbelievable scene. It's like so self-aware, Tom.
Well, he was really, really good. And he kept her under his spell.
Yeah, perfect person to bring to the end, though.
Probably shouldn't have gotten rid of her, but you can't nitpick it for what Tom did. What's her last name?
Grodel.
Grodel.
The fun fact about Karen is that she's probably of this list. And I didn't like go to people's houses and ask them, like give them a questionnaire. She's probably the most observant out of all these people.
And how do you know that?
Well, because I was reading an interview where there's this whole concept of like not speaking ill of others.
Yeah.
And just like we're not doing about her right now. And so she said that was one of her biggest concerns about being on the show. And it really bothered her that she had to lie and like, you know, bash people. Because she didn't want to violate that commandment.
That's a good question, Akiva. Just how orthodox of a Jewish person could go on Survivor? Is there anything that's like, you know, could somebody who was like totally orthodox, could they go on Survivor? Is there anything that would prevent them from doing that?
Well, we've had orthodox people on Big Brother, of course. The issue with Survivor is, you know, they can't give you like food out of a box that's kosher. So I think the food would be a big issue. First of all, it wouldn't be popular if like they give you some live animal or, you know, live bug and you're not eating it at the gross food eating challenge.
Right. But I think it would present all sorts of like issues within the tribe. I think that'd be very interesting.
It depends how observant you are. It is a good question. And definitely it's something I've thought of. Not that I'd ever go out there myself, but it's, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, not to get too technical here, but there are a lot of issues. I mean, there's certainly, a subset of people who wouldn't even allow themselves to be videotaped on Saturday. So that would already eliminate them from contention.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it'd be tough.
Also, we don't write on Friday nights and Saturdays. So like what you go to like tribal and you're like mouthing it to the producer who's writing it for you. I don't know how that
Jeff,
works.
Jeff, I must abstain tonight from the vote. Yeah.
Sorry. I know I'm the tiebreaker, but I'm going to sit this one out.
Wow. I'd be so
excited. What if they handed you like a ballot with every person's name and you just pick that ballot?
I don't know.
Not bad.
Okay. Who are your other honorable mentions?
And the other honorable mention here is the great David Sampson.
He didn't make the cut?
He might be the first boot 8 times if he plays 10 times. No, he didn't make the cut.
Wow.
So I mean, the guy's bragging about fleecing taxpayers in his pregame interview. The president of probably the most despicable franchise in all professional sports other than New England Patriots. And, the problem with Samson is like he is so proud of being evil that he wears it on his sleeve.
Well, this is pretty incredible. So are we up to the top 8 yet?
We're up to the top 8.
Okay.
The one thing I thought about that was funny about Samson is like Probst was so bummed that he got voted out early.
Sure. You knew he was going to be good TV.
How come he got to get to go to the reunion? You know, Samson wasn't staying in Ponderosa for 39 days.
I really don't know what his deal was. I never heard any stories about him if that was the case.
Oh, no, he definitely left that minute.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
Garrett gets there, there's no way Samson's still there.
I believe that is unsubstantiated by Akiva.
No, it's substantiated. I've definitely heard that.
Okay. All right. So now that we have our Survivor menorah, who is the first person putting their torch in our proverbial Survivor menorah?
All right. From left to right here. So at number 8, and this, you know, this pains me because not only is she a fellow tribes member, but she is a neighbor of mine or maybe was once.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to throw my fellow Five Townser under the bus, but the great Roberta St. Amour is number 8.
Wow. Hey, she made the top 8. I'm sure she's going to be excited.
Listen, I mean, she never survived the tribal council, so she could consider this like her first one.
Her first night out at tribal council. So this is a very exciting. A Miss Survivor, a top 8 on the Survivor menorah. This is huge.
This is huge. Yeah, I'm from the Five Towns. She's from the Five Towns. Can you name the Five Towns, by the way, Rob?
I could not.
No. None of them? None of the five?
I would just be guessing, and it would be a bad job.
People, listen, people, I read the comments on your shows. People say they want more Long Island geography.
I couldn't do it, Akiva. What are they?
It's Hewlett Woodmere, Lauren Cedars, then Inwood.
Okay. No, I would not have gotten that.
But so she's from Hewlett. I'm from Woodmere.
Okay. And do you know RC? Do you have any RC
not.
Stories?
Of course not. No, we've gone over this. I didn't know any girls.
Okay. But do you have a friend of a friend of a friend or anything like that?
Oh, I'm sure we have mutual friends on Facebook if I were to check.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, not really.
All right. Number 7 on the Survivor menorah.
All right. We're going back to the great Survivor Kagyan.
All right.
And this is just voted out right after David Samson. We have Garrett Edelstein.
Oh, and they couldn't have gotten along, these two?
It took 1 minute for David to throw Garrett under the bus.
You would think that they had a bond that they could.
Would you think he just spotted the Jew from like 50 miles away and said, I'm going to work with him?
I don't know.
I feel like he's totally out of the loop, right? You haven't heard much from Garrett.
No, haven't heard from him.
But number 7, it had an interesting story.
Now, Garrett is ahead of RC because he lasted 2 tribal councils.
To me, RC is just so, I feel like she was vindicated a little bit this season because, it clearly wasn't her in the RC versus Abby Maria debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't the guilty party. But I do think, like, either she's going to get under somebody's nerves or people are going to be like, oh, wow, she's, you know, really such a threat that you're never going to let her stick around.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for RC to come back because I think now after Abby Maria in this game, it's like, okay, Abby Maria was a problem. So now if RC can come back and not be any drama, I think then she's totally vindicated.
Right. I think also if she comes back with someone who played with Abby, they could just bond over how much like they hate her.
Right. But if RC comes back and then she has problems with other people, not just Abby, I think that's a big smoking gun.
Yeah, I don't know if she's ever coming back, though.
I mean, she was out there for Blood versus Water. She was on the beach.
Yeah, but is she interested? Like, she turned them down. People always say that they're going to turn them down, but it's very rare that someone
hates Abby so much that she didn't want to go if Abby was going to be there.
It would have been a delight to see both of them back out there.
I mean, not that we have any complaints about the season, but imagine how good that would have been.
Oh, we were robbed. Yeah. We could have added 21st person. That would have been great.
All right, number 6.
All right, now, you know, this is a high spot for him, but I have a soft spot for this guy in my heart. He's a good guy, and I feel like if he ever got to play again, he maybe would do better. And that would be the professor himself, Max Dawson.
Max Dawson! Okay, that's a good spot. I mean, I sort of like how we're building up from here, where we have RC, Garrett, Max Dawson. You think Max Dawson the second time around would be better?
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't be with Shireen, who I love Shireen, but that's, you know, that's not a combo you want out there. They were too obviously together.
Yeah.
I think he couldn't do much worse, honestly. But yeah, I think if he's there with a bunch of threats, like if he was on this season, nobody was targeting him.
Yeah.
If he just sat there, did nothing till like the final 8, nobody's getting him out.
Yeah, I think that this past season might have been a good spot for him because there were so many other threats. I do think that...
Yeah, it's too bad he didn't think about going on that season.
The problem for him, I just think, is that he's a big physical threat, so you never really forget about him. And then also, I think then people say, like, it looks like he's up to something. I feel like he's up to something.
Yeah, but if he's out there with Steven and with Spencer, I feel like
he's
like...
This would have been a good season, I think, where he could have sort of like camouflaged a little bit.
I'm sure the thought has never crossed his mind once.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But congratulations to Max Dawson, number 6 on the Survivor menorah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is good. 6th best Jewish survivor of all time? Who wouldn't take that?
Yeah, I would. Listen, that would be a dream for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next 5 players are all returning players. We've seen them at least twice.
All right.
So number 5, a great friend of the show, truly one of the podcast greats. Hopefully we'll see her again on Survivor, but I doubt it. Corinne Kaplan.
Corinne, number 5. Wow. So Corinne makes it to number 5 on the Survivor menorah. That's a pretty good spot for Corinne. I mean, I feel like in both of her games where she got closer the first time around, I feel like I'm not sure she could ever win a season.
I don't think she could win. It would be weird to think of her as like a goat. You know what I mean? Like she would be so vicious at a final tribal. It would be a delight to see.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be tough. I don't know. She would have to really bring the right people to the end.
I think she also struggles with, you have to get along with a lot of people. You have to pretend to like people you don't like. And I think that's another area that she struggles with.
Oh, yeah. That's very tough for her. I do think, she's been there twice. And she's really not going to be targeted early because she's not going to be the weakest woman out there, but she's not like overly threatening strategically or physically.
Yeah,
so
she's good pre-merge. She's good.
This isn't exactly an evolution of strategy here, but like she was a weird person to target at Final 12 in theory.
It was typically compared to the people that you would normally target at Final 12, but there were some extenuating circumstances where she was flipping against her alliance and got busted.
Right.
All right. So now top four, baby.
Yeah, this is the Final Four. These are where the good presents start to come in.
All right. Good presents. Who is number four all-time Jewish Survivor player?
Another great friend of the podcast, three-time player, Jonathan Penner.
Jonathan Penner. Wow. Wow. Happy Hanukkah indeed. So good for Jonathan Penner.
I'm sure he'd be very excited to be named the fourth best Jewish survivor of all time.
Fourth best Jewish survivor player of all time, Jonathan Penner. So fantastic job by Jonathan Penner, who he's making a movie right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's why I didn't have him on the podcast this season. He's been filming a movie, and I believe it is called The Bye-Bye Man.
Ooh, is Coach in it?
I do not believe so. No.
I only watch Survivor
movies. Stop it. He's making a real movie.
Oh, he's making a real movie. No, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah. So
we're going to see Penner soon on our Seinfeld podcast.
Yeah. Well, not that soon.
Not that. I mean, soon is relative.
Yeah.
Time flies when we're podcasting.
Yeah. He's not going to show up on Seinfeld, what, till season 9, right?
Yeah, season 9. But when he's there, hopefully he'll bring George or somebody along with him.
Hopefully. But congratulations to Jonathan Penner, three-time survivor, number four on the list. And I agree so far with the order that you've put them in. I feel like this is like that Price is Right game where you're sort of like putting the people in order of price. So far, I have no issue with the ranking of these players that you've put out there.
Yeah. And I'm not going to give you my Price is Right gripe because I think I just gave it to you a few days ago, but I hate that rule where you could bid 700, next guy bid 701, next guy bid 702.
Right. But so far,
I think we did that a few days ago, though.
Yeah, so far
we're at the point of our marriage, Rob, where like we're repeating bits to each other.
Yeah, did I already tell you this? Yeah, I think so. All right, so 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, all good so
and
far.
By the way, 4 is I think the best Penner's ever done.
No, he never even got past 7.
Yeah, so this is his shining moment.
Yeah, so good job to Jonathan Penner making the top four for the first time. All right,
yeah, Mazel tov.
Mazel tov, Jonathan Penner. So top three.
Yeah, this is where it gets tough.
The Penner's already on the Mount Rushmore of Jewish survivors at this point.
He is on the Mount Rushmore. But here's the thing. This is a revolving door. Like you look at, and I haven't paid a lot of attention to season 32 yet. And I know we're not discussing that sort of thing now. But, you know, if you look at the list of names, we may have a couple of names who are eligible there.
Okay. All right. Something to watch out for.
You could be on Mount Rushmore. And, you know, your face could get chiseled off like what's going to happen to Roosevelt soon.
Is that going to happen to Roosevelt?
Yeah, they're putting Obama on instead of him.
Oh, so don't get political, Akiva.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, I was going to say that we don't have enough problems that we're going to worry about Mount Rushmore right now.
I've never heard good things about Mount Rushmore. I feel like in pictures it's great, but up close and personal, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, is it like smaller in person?
I've never been there.
Is there shrinkage?
I do think there's a little bit of shrinkage with the Mount Rushmore.
Okay. So we will follow that as one day, hopefully, we will have the Mount Rushmore of Jewish survivors carved out of marble.
So now Penner's got to like sit with some voodoo doll.
Yeah.
And, you know, make sure these guys don't beat him.
All right. Who is number three?
All right. Number three. You know, he was very proud of finishing 9th this season. So I was thinking about putting him 9th on this list, but that wouldn't have been fair. So true, you know, great friend of the show. Hopefully he'll reappear on this podcast one day. Stephen Fishback.
Wow, Stephen Fishback. Hold
on. Steven's the best. Know it all. Turns out Rob isn't that good at all.
And in terms of Jewish survivors, that's especially true.
Yeah. So now the question would be, you know, if you ever converted, like you know, you talk about doing on the other podcast.
Yes.
The question is, would you be ahead of Steven or behind him? But that's really for a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole nother podcast. That's opening up a can of worms, Akiva. I mean,
but I think you'd be on them. You're better than Penner. So if you convert, I'm not saying you should. You know, we're not the religion where we try and get people to convert. But this is kind of like a big carrot. You could be on the Jewish Mount Rushmore survivors.
I guess so. I could, if I could convert, I could at least, whether I'm ahead of Steven or behind Steven, again, another debate for the know-it-alls, then we can, you know, debate where my placement is. And then, but either way, Penner is pushed aside.
Yes, Penner's spot is very tenuous here.
Okay, so Steven ahead of Penner. No qualms with that. Steven has a finals appearance. Penner does not, even though Penner has three times out there. So good on Steven for making it to number three. What a year for Steven Fishback.
Yeah, this is definitely the highlight of his year. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's had a spot, you know, usurped. Do you think Josh Wigler is going to play now and like beat him and then he'll Wigler wins? He has to be top three, takes a spot in the Jewish Survivor list.
Yeah, wow, that would be something.
Yeah. Well, he's just stealing all spots. It's possible.
I'm not sure how Steven's going to go to sleep tonight. All right, so now we're down to two.
Yes, now we're down to two.
Now we're down to two.
Really, if you have some list out and you're playing along, you know who's left.
Yeah.
You know who's left, Rob?
I know one of the two names that are left, but I don't know both of them off the top of my head.
Okay. So number two, and again, we're only going one parent here because off the top of my head, at least three of the people we've mentioned, I think, only have one Jewish parent. But we're not getting too far into the investigation.
Okay,
so you may not even know this person is chosen. But number two, he's a winner.
Okay,
we're down to winners at this point. The great John Cochran.
Oh, Cochran! I totally forgot about him.
Yep.
Number two, is he number two? Or you're just giving us the people that are out there?
No, he's number two.
Number two. Okay. Wow. So Cochran, congratulations. And what a magic carpet ride he's on, from winning Survivor to going on the Millers. He has a new show in development at CBS to the number two Jewish Survivor player of all time.
It was funny. I was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast.
Yes.
And afterwards, some of his like flunkies came on, including Juliet.
Yes.
Who's a Survivor super fan who's never watched like 18 of the seasons.
Mm.
And she mentioned that she really wanted to get Cochran on the show to talk Survivor, but he never answers her tweets.
She actually said that. I mean, that sounds a little sad that she's actually talking about this on a podcast that Cochran.
Yeah, she's like, we're getting him on. He just hasn't responded yet. But like, oh no, this guy doesn't respond to anything. Good luck, buddy.
He was on there one time before, I remember, like last year.
Yeah, but now I feel like he's in full shut-in mode.
Full shut-in mode. So, all right, we'll see if Juliet Littman has any luck contacting Cochran. All right, now, here we go, Akiva. Let's talk about our number one greatest Jewish Survivor player of all time. I don't know if it will ever be beaten or taken from him. The great Ethan Zahn.
Yeah, impossible to really, you know, he's the first.
What would somebody have to do? Cochran would have to come back and win again?
Yeah, if you won a second time, sure. If Steven says he's never coming back. If Steven came back and won, a first and a second would probably beat Ethan. But to me, you know, you could make an argument that Ethan's one of the better winners. So your resume is going to have to be really impressive to beat Ethan. I feel like he'll be there, you know, at Survivor 50.
Right. I feel like, you know, Kim Spradlin could convert.
Oh, if you're talking, if conversions are on the table.
Right.
Then
there's a short list of people that could convert.
Sandra could convert and win a third time. That would probably put her near the top.
Wow. So Ethan Zahn, I can't believe it. He is the number one. Actually, I can't believe it. That's what I would have said if you would ask me.
Yeah, it was literally like, if you ever see, you ever like go to bet on a
team. It's kind of a no brainer, actually.
30 point favorites. Like, he's like 11 to 12 odds. Yeah. You have to bet a dollar to win a penny.
Akiva, does it make you happy to hear that I had two of the top three greatest Jewish Survivor players of all time at my wedding?
Yeah, I guess. I don't mean, it makes me incredibly happy.
Yeah.
You have friends. You always talk about how you have no friends. So,
well, I don't mean this as so.
If you got married today.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're inviting like all the fans of the podcast.
Yeah.
Like realistically, like how many people could you know, I feel like it would be sad at this point, no?
Of how many people I'm inviting?
You'd have like 20 people there.
I mean, I didn't really have a lot of friends at my first wedding.
How many survivors? Can we go over which survivors were at your wedding?
Yes. So Steven Fishback was there. Are you talking about the reception?
Was there like set? Did you like only invite people to certain things?
No. That I think that Courtney had come with Steven to the church, but I think she had
plus
to work.
One.
Yeah. Well, there's no like plus one at the church. You just anybody could show up.
Anyone could show up at the church.
Yeah, you don't have to have an invitation for the church.
Oh, okay.
And then Ethan and Jenna were there at the ceremony or at the reception.
Okay. But that's also like cheating because they're together.
Okay.
Like,
well,
Jenna's invited on her own, or she was Ethan's plus one. Now I'm getting you in trouble.
Jenna was invited, and Ethan was her plus one.
Yeah, but now it would be like all survivors. The only people would be there,
right?
Would be like,
only friends. I mean, unless we're talking about fans of the podcast.
I mean, do you invite fans?
Like, if I wanted to have friends there,
I feel like that's like the $50 level of patron to get invited to the wedding.
We'll create a new level for invitations to family functions.
First the call has to kick you out. Then we'll worry about that.
Right. Then we'll worry about that. But it would not be a very heavily attended event.
Yeah, I got married in Florida and I had like 30 something friends come down. And now I would be lucky to get like four.
Yeah, well, I would love to attend if I could, if you got married again.
We'll see.
In Florida. Yeah. Is there anybody that you missed here? I feel like, is this a comprehensive list?
Rob, this list is really comprehensive.
There's nobody that you missed.
There's definitely no one who could have been this top eight. There's nobody else out there. Trust me. I went through every single name. Right. I was calling Sean Kniff's parents.
All right, because I don't want to get like angry messages from anybody that wants to be on the list and then wasn't.
Well, you probably get angry messages of people who want to get off the list, way more than on the list.
All right. Well, Akiva, thank you so much for your hard work. You could follow Akiva on Twitter all year long, not just during Hanukkah. He's at Kiev26. Any other future lists? Will you be putting together the top eight Jewish Big Brother players of all time?
I think we have to get to eight first, right now. Well, so let's do this right now. We have Victoria versus Captain Kosher. Who's one? Who's two?
Well, Eric Stein.
Oh yeah. Well, okay, fine. Eric Stein's one.
Yeah.
And then who do you have? Your life savings on the line for a season of Big Brother. Someone has to win it. Victoria or Captain Kosher?
I would say, boy, Victoria got closer.
Yeah, and they all said they were going to vote for her if anybody brought her to the end as a threat.
I think that's an interesting prop bet. Who would you rather? Who would you rather take to go to the end?
But if you ever want to do the least listened to podcast in rap history, do that.
I think she has a better chance to get to the end.
Oh boy, we're really much better represented on. I'm a huge Eric Stein fan, but we're much better represented on Survivor than Big Brother.
All right, well, Akiva, thank you so much. And if you want to hear more from Akiva, if you do. Postshowrecaps.com. You can hear our Seinfeld podcast every week. We'll be going through another episode of Seinfeld. And this week we are going to be talking about a very good one, the Hamptons, coming up on Post Show Recaps.
Yeah, one of the best.
All right. Akiva, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I know I'm your only Jewish co-host, so I know you didn't really have a choice, but I appreciate
it. That's definitely not true.
Maybe that's next year's podcast.
All right, Akiva, thank you so much. Okay.
Yep.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Akiva Winokur giving us the definitive list of the greatest Jewish survivors of all time. And what a great job he did researching everything. No stone was unturned in the work that he did to bring us that list. So that just shows you what a great job that Akiva does. You can hear more from him on the Seinfeld post show recap. Before we get to our next guest, we have another musical number. We always like to bring you some music during the Happy Holidays show, and Happy Holidays 2015 should be no different. And so I know the countdown is on. People are just counting down the days until we get to Survivor 32, Survivor Co-Wrong. What could Co-Wrong with all these medevacs? Of course, it's going to be Brain versus Beauty versus Brawn, number two. And the anticipation is high. And so our good buddy Mike Bloom has a musical number for you, which hopefully will capture the essence of that countdown to Survivor Co-Wrong. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom!
On the first day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said to me, "Are you sure that you're a beauty?" On the second day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said to me, "You're cute maybe, but are you sure that you're a beauty?" On the third day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said to me, "I used to model, you're cute maybe, but are you sure that you're a beauty?" On the fourth day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said it to me, "You can Google it, I used to model, you're cute maybe, but are you sure that you're a beauty?" On the fifth day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said it to me, "I suck at puzzles. You can Google it, I used to model, you're cute maybe, but are you sure that you're a beauty?" On the sixth day of Co-Wrong, my tribe mate said to me, "I haven't started playing, I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the seventh day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the eighth day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, all the balls are dropping, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the ninth day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, my pole is dangling, all the balls are dropping, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the tenth day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, why aren't you base melding? My pole is dangling, all the balls are dropping, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the 11th day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, everyone's medevacking, why aren't you base melting? My pole is dangling, all the balls are dropping, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? On the 12th day of Korong, my tribe mate said to me, dig woman, oh, you're fainting, everyone's medevacking, why aren't you base melting? My pole is dangling, all the balls are dropping, someone here is lying, I haven't started playing. I suck at puzzles. You can Google it. I used to model your cute baby, but are you sure that you're a beauty? Happy holidays.
What a great job by Mike Bloom on the vocals, and a big shout out to Amy H. for writing the 12 Days of Korong. Beautiful holiday classic here on Happy Holidays number 4. So I am very inspired by the music stylings of Mike Bloom, so I wanted to do a musical number myself on this show. And going back to earlier this season on Survivor, back on one of the episodes in the middle of the season, back when Jordan Parhar was my guest on the voicemails, we talked about a tweet that Jonathan Penner had sent in or had tweeted, which he said, Survivor Sierra is making no sense, and that music sounds like Cambodia the way I sound like Mariah Carey. Well, a lot of people liked how we started singing a little bit of Jonathan Penner performing All I Want for Christmas. You guys asked for it. Matt Rubio tweeted on November 8th. Very fun episode, guys. We need a full version of the Penner Mariah Carey song for the holidays. So without further ado, here is All I Want for Christmas Is You from Jonathan Penner.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is Yule. Yes, my friend. I don't want.
Hold on. I have a phone call coming in. A Skype call is coming in. Oh, Eliza. Hey.
Rob, can you hear me? This is Eliza Orland's call.
Eliza joining us here. Wow, what a surprise. Eliza, welcome to the holiday special.
Rob.
Yes.
I heard that there's this list Akiva did this list of the top 8 Jewish survivors of all time.
Oh, no.
Why am I not on that list, Rob? Rob, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I can, Eliza, I can hear you. Let me just apologize. First off, I didn't make the list. I didn't see it ahead of time, but I am realizing that there has been a terrible mistake that has been made. Eliza, I'm very sorry, and I apologize. I know you're traveling for the holidays, and this was a bad job on our part.
How could I be left off a list like this? This is absurd. This is, I mean, I know you hate it when I curse on your show, but this is bull.
Yeah, you are 100% correct. I am very much in the wrong here.
Rob, you need to fix this.
I mean, I don't know how to fix this. We already recorded the part of the podcast, so there's really not anything.
Well, then redo it. You have to redo the list. I need a new list.
Well, it's only the 8 spots on the menorah, and he already doled them out, and I don't have the jurisdiction to say who should be there. You're absolutely right. You should be there. I just don't have the authority to change the list once
Rob,
it's already
I've been
made.
A big supporter of your podcast. And I'm calling in from my vacation because I'm absolutely irate.
Eliza, I wish that there was something. I mean, where should you be on the list? Who do you want to bump off from the list?
Anyone.
Penner. There
Literally
was Ethan.
Anyone.
There was Fishback. There was RC. There was Cochran.
Aside from one of those names, I'd be honored to be on that list with all those people. However, whoever you have to bump, just bump because I have to be on that list.
I mean, could we add another day of Hanukkah? Is that possible? Could we have 9 days of Hanukkah?
Whatever you have to do, Rob. Make it a law.
I mean, will people be upset if we add a 9th day of Hanukkah?
I'll be the shamus.
All right. Well, Eliza, I apologize very much about all this. I appreciate how dedicated you are to this and proving your worthiness on this list to be calling in from your vacation halfway around the world.
You know, once you fix the list, all will be forgiven.
All right, I will work.
And you can wish me a happy early birthday too.
Happy
birthday.
Happy early birthday and happy early Hanukkah, Eliza.
It's late Hanukkah, but yes, you were close.
It's early for next year.
Okay, well, early for next year then.
All right. Eliza, thank you. Thank you so much. And all the best to you and your hashtags in 2016, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right.
You too.
Enjoy your trip.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. That was close. You try to always stay off of Santa's bad list, and you try all year long to stay off of Eliza's bad list. And then you have one guest that comes on to make the list of the all-time greatest Jewish survivors who leaves her off. And then all of a sudden, you know, the whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket. So hopefully we will be able to heal the wounds created by Akiva with Eliza in 2016. All right, I'm very excited for this next segment because we always like to play games on the Happy Holiday Show, and we have a great game here today. And here with us to play this very special Happy Holidays game, she is one of the co-hosts of our Bachelor Rehap Up show, which is going to be returning to reality TV Rehap Ups very soon in the new year. Here she is, our good buddy, Haley Strong.
Rob, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little apprehensive about all of this.
Yes, well, I can understand.
Last time I was on the Happy Holidays, it didn't go super well. And so I don't actually know what we're doing today.
Yes.
So that's another curveball that I'm a little nervous about. So I'm just putting all of my faith in you that you wouldn't do this to me twice.
No. I think it'll go well. Now, again, this is not a bit. This is the God's honest truth that Haley does not know what game we're going to play, that she volunteered to come on and play a game with us. So I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's nothing that's going to be embarrassing or traumatic or anything like that. Anything that you've been through before, that this is going to be nothing like that.
Okay. I'm hoping that's the truth.
Okay. So we have a contest. No. So this is going to be a game. Now, of course, everybody knows about Santa Claus. I actually wrote him a letter that I'm trying to track down, and hopefully I get some answers on that sometime soon, and what happened to my letter to Santa Claus. But Santa Claus is always trying to keep up with the times. I mean, the guy's been around forever, and so he's trying to get into the social media thing. Unfortunately for Santa, he doesn't really know what he's doing. There's no elves that can sort of like talk him through it. So Santa has recruited somebody to be his social media mentor. Okay? Now, of course, Santa's very busy this time of year. And so he brought in a mentor to sort of teach him, how do I deal with tweeting during my busiest time of year? And I guess maybe he felt like that, well, I have a beard. I need a mentor with a beard. And so are you ready to play the first ever edition of Santa Rupert Tweets?
Tweets, baby, oh, tweets, my
Santa.
Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor.
North Pole.
Rupert Tweets.
Yeah, Santa Rupert.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Haley.
So I guess I shouldn't Snapchat Santa my Christmas list here.
You could. You could. Why not?
I don't know. I feel like he wouldn't respond to it. He would just ignore it.
Yeah.
He'd let it dwell in his mail inbox.
Well, writing a letter I had heard was the way to go, but I'm beginning to have my doubts on that. But so Santa Claus has been working very closely with Rupert Boneham and has a actual Twitter account that he has been tweeting this time of year. It's at Santa Rupert B. Don't look at it because then you'll be able to see the real tweets. So I have a number of real tweets from Santa Rupert and then a fake tweet from Santa Rupert. And so I want to play with you and see if you can identify the fake Santa Rupert tweet.
I feel like we're getting pretty deep into this.
This is a deep dive. This is a deep
this
cut game.
This is the deepest dive.
Put on your snorkel, because we are going down the Santa Rupert rabbit hole.
Oh my gosh.
All right, round one, okay? This game is in rounds of five, so you gotta get 3 out of 5 to win the round, okay?
3 out of 5, okay.
All right, here we go. Number one, round one.
Why is it that girls always ask for a pony, but boys never do? Hashtag Christmas list.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Number two.
Because of inherent sexism, but that's not a big deal.
Hey, that's, hey, Santa Rupert. Number two.
Hey, I'm sorry.
You push yourself till you've gone to every house. Hashtag Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Number three.
Hope you come out this Saturday to the Center Circle Mall in Indianapolis. Come meet me and Laura Claus before we head north.
Okay.
And number four,
delivering toys is hard, and the toll of Christmas Eve can last long until after you return to the North Pole.
You know what? They all sound like something that Santa Rupert Claus would definitely write.
Santa is very busy, and so he had to preload a lot of these tweets so that he could get back to what he has to do, but also be on social media. He's like using like Buffer app.
And how's that working for him?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good. This is a successful attempt at a social media takeover. Okay, there's a lot of good options here. Like, none of them stood out to me as particularly obvious options to be the fake Rupert tweet. Oh my gosh. I feel like the mall one is so specific that it would be right. But then you might be trying to Mike Bloom me.
Mm-hmm.
You research malls in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my gosh, this is tough.
Nobody said this was going to be easy. In fact, nobody told you anything.
No. This was just like a blind entrance for me. It was like when the guy on The Bachelor wore a mask for like his entire stay there.
Yes.
That's how I feel right now.
Well, this was all part of your year of yes. So number two.
Thanks, Sean.
Was
you push yourself till you've gone to every house. Hashtag Christmas Eve.
No, I'm super in on that one. Okay, so I'm going to go number one is the fake tweet.
Number one is the fake tweet, which is,
why is it that girls always ask for a pony, but boys never do? Hashtag Christmas list.
Final answer?
Yes.
No pumpkin, no.
Oh. Haley, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The fake Rupert tweet was, yeah, you gotta trust your gut. It was, hope you come out to Saturday to the Center Circle Mall in Indianapolis. Come meet me and Laura Claus before we head north.
Oh my God, I knew you were going to do this to me. And I, oh God. Okay. All right. Let's do.
All right. All right. Ready for question two? So you have to get now 3 out of the next 4 if you want to win this round.
Hopefully, okay. I'll have a better record here than the Mets did in the World Series.
All right. Hey, come on. You know, how did your Blue Jays do against those Royals?
They did okay-ish.
Okay. All right. That's they're a tough team. They're a tough team, okay? That's like a buzzsaw.
The Royals are a tough team.
All right.
You know, there's nothing I can do about it now.
All right. Here we go.
Except take you down with me.
We're down. We are down.
We're so down.
Right. There's no other new podcast that came out on Christmas Eve, okay? This is, you got nothing else to listen to. Trust me.
This is us living our best selves. And
nobody
that's
else put out a podcast today. All right. We have your undivided attention. All right. Here we go. Question number 2 goes,
thinking about all those milk and cookies makes my stomach roar. Hashtag Christmas Eve.
Number 1. Number 2.
Santa Rupert's favorite is Rudolph, but Laura Claus is partial to Donner. Hashtag reindeer games.
Number 3.
There's always smiling on Christmas.
And number 4.
Oh boy, I expect the best hashtag holiday cheer of the season. Hashtag Christmas.
Again, 3 of these have been tweeted by the real at Santa Rupert B.
Oh my God. Okay. So the first one kind of stood out to me as soon as you read it. I was like, no, this is bogus stuff going on here. But then you read that fourth one. I was like, no, this is a dumpster fire. So I'm going, number 4 is the fake tweet.
That's right.
Yes. Redemption Island.
Yes. You did it. You did it. Okay. So
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
All right. So you have to be proud of yourself.
You made it to the jury.
Yeah.
I'll make it to the jury once I get like 4 out of 5. I think, right?
Okay. Here we go. Out? Question number 3. Here's the next round. First one.
Okay.
Hashtag Christmas really needs to be 2 days long.
Okay. Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Looks like Johnny Fairplay has been naughty again this year. Hashtag survivor.
Number 3.
This year will be a really merry hashtag Christmas.
And number 4.
I'm still mad at the Grinch for ruining hashtag Christmas once. I can't wait to get him back.
So I think my real block with the game is like in my head, I'm like, would Rupert actually tweet this? And I'm like,
again,
no, like this is not Rupert at all.
It's that it's Rupert's
Santa.
Protege.
Santa Rupert. Oh my gosh.
Santa Rupert.
Okay. Can you read the third one to me again?
This Man, year this will down. Be a really merry Christmas. Hashtag Christmas.
Okay. I'm saying that. Oh, okay. This is tough. This one is tough. Would he call out Johnny Fairplay? Would he call out the Grinch? I think he is more likely. Oh my God. No, I don't know. Okay. I'm going number 2 is the wrong one.
Number 2 is the fake tweet.
Uh-oh. Looks like Johnny Fairplay has been naughty again this year. Good.
That's your fake tweet?
Yes, but I don't feel great about it.
All right. Well, you are right.
Oh, thank God. Oh my God.
All right. You have 2 out of 3 right. You only need to get 1 out of the next 2.
As Meatloaf says, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Okay. So let's go ahead and get to our next one. You ready for this?
I think so.
You're really good
at
this game.
I'm slowly gaining confidence.
You're better at this than the real Rupert tweet game.
I think I did pretty good on that, Rob.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't either. Can someone in the patron group holler at me and let me know how I did?
Yeah, Rob's fact checker can get on that and see if Haley won back in. I can tell you she played back in May of 2015.
I was the finale.
Yeah, so the episode before the finale, like first week in May. Round 4. This could be a walk-off for you, Haley.
My fingers are crossed. I'm hoping I just nailed this one.
Okay, here
Learned
we go.
It. Stick the landing.
Stick the landing. Here we go. All right. Number 1.
it is such a huge advantage to have Rudolph leading your sleigh on a foggy Christmas Eve. Number two, it's always, quote unquote, Scramble City leading up to Christmas Eve. Number three, Comet just showed Rudolph how to win over your sleigh mates. Hashtag Christmas. And number four, I cannot believe how quickly hashtag Christmas rolled around. These days are flying by.
Okay, I'm between two and three as the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Comet is Comet really like the second best reindeer?
I don't know.
I mean, I like Comet because it's like Haley's Comet. You know, we're like two peas in a pod. But I don't know if the collective reindeer staff feels that way.
Yeah.
What was the second tweet again?
It's always Scramble City leading up to Christmas Eve.
Whew. I don't love that one, but I'm going to go with my heart and say that three is incorrect.
Three is the incorrect tweet.
Yeah.
Haley, Merry yes. Christmas. You just won the Santa Rupert tweet game.
Oh my wow. God. I cannot believe this moment is finally here.
Look at you.
I have so many people to thank.
Can you believe it?
Tweets, baby.
No, I can't.
Santa Rupert.
Tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor.
Santa Rupert tweets. You know, really, the tell is that Rupert, or Santa Rupert, when he's preloading his tweets, he's just talking about things like in general senses. He's like, you know, it's always crazy leading up to Christmas. It's always Scramble City. I can't believe how Christmas has come so fast. It's such a big advantage when you have Rudolph. But the Comet one is that Comet just showed Rudolph. You could tell by he's talking in the past tense about something that just happened.
Too when specific.
You couldn't do that when you preload a tweet.
This is a real Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracle. You did it.
Yes. I didn't believe in myself, and I should have believed in myself like I believe in Santa Claus.
Yes. Vindication for you in 2015 after the Blue Jays did not go the distance?
I mean, it doesn't bring me all away. It doesn't bring me back 22 years of turmoil, but this is helping to heal my heart.
Okay. Well, Haley, I know you guys have some exciting stuff coming up on The Bachelor. What's coming up first? It's The Bachelor is first?
Yes, we're doing our second season of The Bachelor over on The Bachelor Wrap-Up Show. We're really excited about our premiere episode. It's coming. We're probably going to record before the end of the year, but whether or not it goes up before that time, we are actually inviting both friends of the podcast, Kelly and Randy, to come on the draft cast with us.
Kelly Wigglesworth?
No, never. So Kelly and Randy
Kelly
are coming on, and Kelly Wentworth. Sorry, I should have just gone with her last name like everyone else did. We're doing it a little differently. We have two teams this year. It's going to be Amy and I versus... Yeah, she is going to be sneaky. She was not here for the entire Bachelorette season, and she won handily. And she didn't even have the winner on her team. And she still like beat us to a pulp.
Yeah.
So her and Randy are going to have a team, and me and Amy are going to have a team, and we're going to battle out and see who comes out on top, who gets the final rose.
Haley, we are very excited for the return of The Bachelor Wrap-Up. Of course, you could follow Haley on Twitter. She is at @hstrong_.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't forget
Rob.
The underscore. Right. Just like you were underscoring left and right here tonight on this game.
Wasn't I overscoring?
You were overscoring, I guess, too.
Like, I was just knocking them in, like Steve Nash circa like 6 years ago.
Yeah. I should hope you do so well in this Bachelor draft. So let me just get this straight. So you and Amy are going to be paired up versus the tag team of Randy
yeah.
and Kelly. This is like one of those like WWE matches where it's like a tag team where it's like you guys are like a real tag team. You guys are like the Rockers or something. And then there's like a tag team of like just like two people. Like it's like Hulk Hogan and Savage. And then at some point there'll be like a miscommunication where they'll end up like enemies in this. And you guys are going to win this going away.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're going to Blair and Haley it. And me and I are going to be not a blind date couple, but still does well.
Yeah. Is no way this can work out. Right.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping. And I also, like, Kelly did win this past season, but I won, like, I dominated.
Kelly did win this past season of Bachelor Draft.
Right. Okay, she did just not
context,
win Survivor.
Right.
Spoiler alert, she did not win Survivor.
I will be talking
she did
about
win The Bachelor, and that's what matters.
Yes.
The Bachelor Draft. She didn't win The Bachelor either. She was not on that show.
All right. Well,
she was on our show.
Haley, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you could hear the Bachelor Rehap Up show on Reality TV Rehap Up. So you can also hear that on the Rob Has a Podcast app, or you can search for it in the iTunes store. You can go to robswebsite.com/batchcast, BACHCAST, to go to that in the iTunes store. And very much looking forward to it. Should be a very fun season.
Yeah, we're really excited to get back on the horse. It's been a long off season. I've tried to fill it with various things, like talking about 90 Day Fiance and Survivor with a lot of different people. But nothing fills the void quite like The Bachelor. Okay. In more ways than one, depending on who you are.
All right. Well, very excited to hear it. Haley, hope you have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody, there you have it. Haley Strong here on the Rehappy Holidays for playing the Santa Rupert Tweets game, which is potentially the most ridiculous game that we've ever played in the history of Rob as a Podcast. All right, so while we were recording with Haley, I did get a text alert on my phone where I've gotten some more information about the whereabouts of my letter that I've been tracking, and I have a tracking number, and I have now the phone number for the post office. And why don't I just try, since we're already going down this road of talking about this thing during the holiday special, really try to multitask and let me see if I can get to the bottom of what is going on with this and just make this quick call while we're going before we get to our next guest here on the Happy Holidays. It's a 207 phone number in Maine, and let me check this out.
U.S. Postal Service, Gorham, Maine. Dan Foley speaking.
Oh, hey, Dan. This is Rob Cisternino, and
I know who this is. Yeah. Mr. R-H-A-P, Rob Cisternino.
Yes, Dan, how's it going?
You know, Rob, I got no qualms about you. The mail's not coming today. The mail's not coming tomorrow. And I'm okay with that.
Well, that's actually what I was calling about, that I had this letter that I've been sending, and I have a tracking number that I've been trying to follow.
You want
to
care about your letter? I couldn't even get my letter from Mike, and couldn't get to get that lovely letter from my wife, Erin.
I have a tracking number for a letter that I sent.
Listen, Rob. There's two modes and two ways to look at this situation. Being awake and being asleep.
Dan, I'm not really sure what that has to do with anything. I just wanted to find out about my letter. I was hoping you could help me out.
Your letter is hollow. I am a fat guy in Maine, and it won't come to Santa on time, okay?
Well, why not? I'm trying to ship my letter.
I got three words for you. Shippers never win. So just close your mouth, open your ears, and watch what happens.
What's going to happen, Dan? I just want to find out what's going on with my letter. Did you have something to do with this?
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Who just took that sandwich out of the fridge? Will someone just slap this woman already?
Dan, are you still there?
I'm here.
Dan, I have to say that I'm just trying to get to the bottom of where my letter is. Do you think, could you help me out? I got this tracking number. The letter has gotten to Gorham, Maine.
Oh, no. No one can help you there.
What do you mean?
Rob has a podcast.
Dan,
you can speak to my manager.
Yeah,
now.
Could I speak to a supervisor? Because I feel like this is getting, no, I feel like I'm being stonewalled here. Is there a manager that I could speak with?
U.S. Postal Service, this is a supervisor.
Hi, I'm trying to get to the bottom. I have a tracking number for a letter that I'm trying to send, and I'm having an issue with somebody who is not giving me any answers.
And who is the individual that you're speaking of?
I was speaking with somebody, Dan Foley, who is working there, and he's not helping me.
Dan V? Dan Foley?
Yes.
Listen, Dan Foley has worked for the post office for 24 years. He is a model employee. There is no problems with Dan Foley. Okay, clearly, the problem must be yours.
No, I just...
What is this letter that supposedly you're speaking of?
I sent a letter. I have a tracking number. It was a letter that I had written to send to a very important person who was expecting it this time of year. And I have a tracking number that I could give you. And I'm just trying to find out. The tracking has ended in Gorham, Maine. And I'm trying to find out where the letter is.
Oh, this wouldn't be Mr. Sestrinino, would it?
Yes.
Yeah. We've seen that letter. And it was really very well written. And I must tell you, your handwriting is impeccable.
Well, thank you.
However, I'm afraid Mr. Claus has actually refused your letter.
What?
There's the good boy list and the naughty boy list. Yeah, not only are you not on the naughty list. I mean, okay, we've got Eliza, we've got Abby, we've got Corinne. They're on the naughty list. You're not even on the naughty list. They may get coal in their stocking for Christmas. Yeah, Santa's going to go right past you this year. There isn't even coal coming for you. So, you know, there's really no nice way to say this, so I'm just going to be honest and say you should just tear up the tracking number because it's just not happening.
So Santa's not going to get my letter?
It's not that Santa isn't going to get your letter. It's that he knew the letter was coming and he refused it. I think you should take the hint. I'm just saying. It doesn't matter when your birthday is, there'll be no presents for you. It doesn't matter when Christmas comes, there's no presents for you.
This is a lot to handle right now.
Yeah, you know, I want to say that there's room for improvement. I want to say that there's opportunities to learn for everybody. However, I just don't think that opportunity is going to come to you this year.
I'm speechless. I'm really actually very offended about this.
Hold on a second. There's two ways to look at this situation. You can either listen to the situation like a guy, or you can listen to the situation like a girl. If you listen to it like a guy, you just nod your head. Okay, honey, you're right. When you listen like a girl, you sit back.
Well, I guess there's nothing I can do.
I'd really like to thank you for using the U.S. Postal Service. Listen, Mr. Sestrinino, I appreciate your phone call and I appreciate your concern. Unfortunately, there's just nothing we can do for you. It's the busy time of year for the post office. We've got a lot of people in line. Who's next in line? Mike Holloway, are you right there?
Mike Holloway.
Boo, I've been trying to send out this letter for about 2 weeks now. If this letter does not get to my boy Boston Hot Rod, dude, I love that kid, man. I really do.
Wow.
I mean, you better guarantee me. Better yet, you better guarantee 155,000% that that letter's going to get to my boy Boston Hot Rod. Because if not, it's over.
It sounds like a very busy day at the Gorham Post Office.
You know, and again, we've got people in line. We've got people more important. Oh, my goodness. Mr. Lavoie, is that you in line? I'm standing in this line right here. It's my friggin' birthday. I'm starving over here. I haven't left my camp for 37. You people don't understand how hard it is for me right now. Okay? There's only one person in my life that I love, and that's my mother. I love my mother. I don't care what Dan Foley says. I love my mother. My mother is a saint, and I friggin' love that woman. And there's more people in line. It's a busy time of year. Holy crap. Is that Max? Max Dawson?
Well, Max Dawson goes to the Gorham Post Office? That seems very out of the way.
How the hell did I end up in Gorham, Maine is the question. I mean, I actually thought I was in Topanga, California, but I've been going over so much survival film that my mind kind of hurts. That when I rub my beard, I actually don't even feel anything.
Wow.
I'm so full right now. For Christmas dinner, all I'm going to have is some keel. I'm going to pat my cat for about 5 hours.
It's a busy day. I didn't even know Max Dawson celebrates Christmas.
Survivor professors, they tend to do anything possible, especially around Christmas time. So around the holidays, all of the Dawsons gather around the mistletoe, and we actually watch every single season of Survivor.
Wow. That's a holiday tradition like no other.
Yeah, absolutely. And being a part of this Dirty 30 and all of my fellow castmates, I want to send a letter out to everybody telling them that I want my second chance.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go with the letter right about now. That seems like that is not the way to go, Max. Is there anybody else at the post office, Max?
I actually just saw Abby Maria, I think.
Abby Maria.
Hello, Max. Hello, it is me, Abby Maria. It is very nice to see you here in the current post offices. I do not understand why all these people are in my way. Do they not see I am in line trying to get to the counter? I look at these people and I think, get out of my face. But they do not listen. I do not understand.
Listen. This is the real Abby Maria, and if I don't get my letter today, then you're dead.
You are very dead to me because you do not do as I am telling you in the face. You need to listen. Why do you not listen to me? Is that my bracelet? Are you wearing my bracelet?
This is all getting very confusing. I think I should just quit while I'm ahead with my letter. And I'll see if I can get Santa's email address, okay?
Stupid email.
I love my wife.
All right, well, Dan and Dan's supervisor, thank you for your time. And, you know, even though you guys were somewhat less than helpful, I do wish you guys the very happiest of holidays, okay?
Well, very Merry Christmas, Rob.
Just remember these three words. All my fellow Christmasers, shippers never win.
Okay. That's the hashtag. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dan and Dan's boss.
My right, pleasure, Rob.
Take care, guys. Bye.
See you now.
Take care, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Dan Foley and his supervisor. And I guess Santa is not getting my letter or didn't want my letter. I don't really understand why Santa has an axe to grind against me, but unfortunately, I will just have to try my best. I will see if I can direct message at Santa Rupert B on Twitter. Maybe he might be able to help if he checks his DMs on Twitter, and maybe we'll go from there. But I just want to thank everybody who did make it this far into this journey into nonstop nonsense for the last 2 hours plus. Greatly appreciate that, and I really do appreciate everything that you guys do for the podcast all year long, because this is pretty much the most fun that I could be having with my life, is making this show for you guys. And I'm just so happy that there are so many of you guys who are at least tolerating it, if not enjoying it, and hopefully even a few of you that are really enjoying it. I greatly appreciate that. Thanks to everybody who was on the show with me today, from Billy Fett to Akiva to Haley, and songs by Mike Bloom and Shut Up Tim and Ryan Elder and Amy H, who is a big help behind the scenes here on this. Also, thanks to everybody who has been a patron this past year. Again, I could not be doing this as my full-time job without your help. So thank you guys so much. And also thanks to everybody who used our links for Amazon this holiday season. Also greatly appreciated. We've got so much coming up in January and in the off season. Next week, we're going to do our best of 2015 podcasts. And then I'm going to start trying to knock out some of these Survivor 31 long form interviews. Really looking forward to getting into that. I'm sure we're going to get to Stephen Fishback very, very soon. We're also going to talk with Jeremy Collins, hopefully before too long on the podcast. So greatly looking forward to that. And if for some reason you want to hear any of the other Happy Holidays that we've done, there are links to all of them in the post of this podcast on robiswebsite.com.
got a musical number to take us out. You heard this originally last year on the Happy Holidays special. It was Randy Rice and Jessica Leese who were the masterminds behind the big Happy Christmas. Have a very happy holidays and Merry Christmas to all and to all. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say in the comments on this one on robhasawebsite.com. All the best, brochachos and brochachas. Take care. Bye.
All year long, we've been listening to Rob as a podcast, leaving voicemails and sending out tweets with the Rob that sucks on blast. When a guy goes beast mode cowboy, is it time to vote him out? Couple of jerks who turn an old man, hey, what's that all about? Tell me, is Julie Chen a robot? Where were Keith and Whitney? And why was Jeff Probst texting Tyler Perry? Feels like I just got dinged. Not married, killed, or buzzed. It's like I'm speaking llama. Blue, 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 blue. I'm a freaking tiny white, and I jiggle all the way. I'm not sucking kneecaps. It's a bigger happy Christmas. Big Ra Happy Christmas. You're not gonna win trading rights for Flynn, cause you know Jeff's life is fine. Collecting meat might seem real neat, but they'll regret it down the line. Rob and Steven know it all, but there's one thing that we've missed. What does Muffin think of all of this? Feels like I just got dinged. Not married, killed, or buzzed. It's like I'm speaking llama. Blue, 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 blue. I'm a freaking tiny whitey, and I jiggle all the way. I'm not sucking kneecaps. It's a big red happy Christmas. Big red happy Christmas. We're all out back, hiding in our spy shack. Happy, we're happy, we're happy. And I've just gotta say that I love you back. We're happy, we're happy, we're happy. Feels like I just got dinged. Not married, killed, or buzzed. It's like I'm speaking llama. Blue, 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 blue. I'm a freaking tiny whitey, and I jingle all the way. I'm not sucking kneecaps. It's a big red happy Christmas. Big red happy Christmas. I'm not sucking kneecaps. Big red happy Christmas.
Was the night before Texas. I mean Christmas.
It's Bryce Isaiah. Where campaigns don't have a theme song. I'm the Purple Pants badass. I'm the Purple Pants badass.
Man, Tarico, look at this spider white five banana you got right there. Marcus Mariota finds a way to slice and dice that defense like no other young quarterback in this league. Don't you think, Tarico?